1 Corinthians chapter 13. And let's see. Brother Matt, could you open us in prayer? Amen. All right, so last several messages have been on charity. We went through the 16 different things that describe or the characteristics of charity, starting in verse 4 all the way through verse 8. Sunday morning, I'd only read the first part of verse 8 where it says, charity never faileth. I didn't get into the meat of that verse or the rest of that verse, just kind of just went right into it. But that verse says, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. And you think, well, how can a prophecy fail? All right, if it's in the Bible, isn't it going to, you know, if God said it, that settles it, it's going to happen. Well, the sense that they fail is that they're all going to come to pass, and then there's not going to be any more prophecies, right? Once we get through the rapture of the church, the tribulation, second advent, then, you know, the great white throne judgment and eternity, I mean, there's no other prophecies. Eventually, prophecies are going to fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. All right, and one day we're all going to speak the same language. Amen. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, all right, the Lord Jesus Christ, then that which is in part shall be done away. All right, so all those things, all right, not we have some knowledge, but it's only partial knowledge. We don't have the mind of Christ yet. Prophecies, tongues, all those things are in part. When it says, when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. All right, so that's how all these things fail. Charity never faileth. And Paul says, this is the verse we're going to focus on tonight, verse 11. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. All right, so we know what the context of this chapter is. Charity, all right? I mean, we've only spent, you know, hours and hours talking about charity. So the reference is charity. What Paul's talking about is charity. So what he's saying is, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, but when he became a man, he put away those childish things. Those childish things are all selfish, right? When you think of a kid, they're very selfish, right? And that's just a natural thing. And eventually they'll grow out of that when they get, they'll grow physically, but they'll also grow in maturity. So tonight we're going to talk about charity and how it's the evidence of spiritual maturity, all right? Charity is the evidence of spiritual maturity. All right, the Bible says, wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. All right, so you can tell by how, if someone has charity or not, how mature of a Christian they are. All right, people today are very immature. I mean, I don't know if you guys pay attention to anyone else beside yourself or just your family, but there are some very, very immature people. I mean, my generation and down, it's kind of crazy. Like, how immature. I mean, you've got grown men, 40 years old, sitting themselves down in their basements in their gaming chair in the dark, you know, with the headsets on, playing Call of Duty, you know, and just all kinds of, you know, I had a lot of fun playing video games growing up, but there came a time when I put those things away. I've tried to go back to that, actually. I've tried in the past when I got my own house and moved over here to Virginia. I got an Xbox. I'd never had an Xbox before. Got Call of Duty, and it was just too much. I couldn't handle it. That, and I got the UFC game, and I beat Jessica every time we played, so she didn't like playing me. I'd knock her out with that high kick with Mirko Krokop, and just boom, she'd fall down. She hated it. So. But no, I tried to get into it. Right, here's something I can do. I'll just, you know, I won't have to go out. I won't spend money. I already got this. And just, I don't know, it just wasn't the same. It wasn't like when I was 13 playing. Later on, I can't even, I think I found it on eBay or something. I found an old Nintendo 64, right? That was our jam growing up. We just like most people, we started with Nintendo. Eddie probably was Atari because, you know, Eddie's going to be 50 tomorrow, so he's a little bit older than I am. But we started with Nintendo, and then it graduated to Super Nintendo, and then it was Sega Genesis, and then Nintendo 64, then PlayStation. We skipped the GameCube. That wasn't very fun. We just skipped right over that. PlayStation 2, we never really got into the Xbox. But as we were growing up, that was something we did as kids. It was fun. We had a good time doing it. Playing GoldenEye 007. Anyone ever play that? Going around shooting each other. That was so much fun. That's why I bought another Nintendo 64, just so I could play that. But my kids aren't quite, they don't play a whole lot of video games. So when I play, I just kill them all the time. Like, man, this is not fun. You know, they don't know anything about proximity mines, throwing them against the wall and having them walk by and they blow up. All right. Maturity, right? But I've gotten past that stuff. I have. A lot of people don't. They're still, video games are very huge now, and it's even more than what it was before where you just beat the game. Now they have these uploads that it just keeps going and going and going. Grown people watching cartoons all the time. I mean, it's, and not just like, not like adult cartoons, like cartoons, stuff that you should have grown out of a long time ago. And it's sometimes, you know, you could watch them with the kids, you get a laugh, but I thought about people with no kids, you know. I don't know if you guys noticed or not, but the LGBTQ community, they're just giant children. I mean, they're very immature. They don't want to grow up, right? Well, they're a Toys R Us kid. I don't want to grow up. You remember those commercials? Well, it's not just the world, though. There's a lot of, what we're going to see tonight, there's a lot of immaturity in the body of Christ in the sense of charity. Charity is the evidence of spiritual maturity. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse number 1, Paul is, again, writing to the Corinthians. He said, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." Why? "I fed you with milk." Why? Because babies, that's what they eat. They eat milk. They drink milk. "And not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet are ye now able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men?" So early on in this epistle, early on in his letter to the Corinthians, Paul addresses the carnality of these people that are of the church of Corinth, which I would tell you is evidence of their spiritual immaturity. Right? He said, "Look, I came to you and I can't even speak to you in spiritual things." Right? I can't go up to Logan or to Monty and speak to them and talk to them about charity. All right? It's just going to go right. They're not there. They're not grown enough to grasp that at all. Right? And Paul will say, "Look, I came to you, Corinthians. I couldn't speak to you about these spiritual matters because you're carnal." All right? "I have to speak to you like you're a baby because you can't handle the meat that is shared. All right? You're not mature enough to handle it. You're still eating milk. Why? Because you're carnal. For whereas there's among you envying, strife, and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men?" So envy, strife, and division are not words that one would use to describe charity. Right? We've read and went through all those different things about charity. Never do you find it being having envy or division or strife. That's immaturity. Why? Because they're babes. He said, this is what you are. I can't talk to you or speak to you as adults in a spiritual sense because you're so spiritually immature. I just can't do it. We can't even have that conversation because it'd be like talking to a little kid about these things. You're just not there yet. Look at Colossians chapter number 3. All right, so we just talked about how these Corinthians had envy, strife, and division, which is not charity. It's the exact opposite. Well, in Colossians chapter 3, Verse number 12, Paul tells these guys, he says, "Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness." All right, so these Colossians were a little bit more spiritually mature than the Corinthians. He's telling them, look, you guys got to forbear one another, forgive one another. Why? And put on charity. Why? Because that's the bond of perfectness. That brings us together. The exact opposite of that was 1 Corinthians chapter 3, where they had envying, strife, and division. All right, if there's divisions, there's not charity. All right, so there was a bond of perfectness because of charity. Charity brings us together. It brings people together. All right, and if I could brag on our church, I would say that we are there's a lot of charity here. There's not any division, right? Other than, you know, just different families. But we're all in this thing together. All right? What we got to do is protect ourselves from that, because I'm sure, you know, when you start bragging on things, the devil's going to start going, oh, yeah, and he's going to start coming in here and trying to divide. But charity will bring that all together. It'll protect us from that division, envy, and strife. It brings us together. You ever notice how when someone's hurting, someone's going through something, a sickness, you know, we got surgeries coming up this week, we've had surgeries in the past, we've had all these different things, and when these tough times come, that seems like when our bond of perfectness is stronger than ever. Why? Because of that charity, that love we have for each other. It's a blessing. We have a very spiritually mature group here. We really do. So back here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul tells us that when he was a child, he spake as a child, he understood as a child, and he thought as a child. And that's normal. Right? Children should think like children. There should not be any crazy expectation of being able to talk about, you know, politics or, you know, some world events with children. Right? They don't understand it. They haven't grown physically. They haven't grown in maturity to be able to talk on stuff like that or to understand stuff like that. So when Paul says, "When I was a child, I spake as a child," he should. Right? I don't expect any of these kids to come out of basic training and sound like, you know, they're 60 years old. You know, they're these mature adults. That's not going to happen. That's unrealistic. And for Paul to say that he spoke as a child, he understood and think as a child when he was a child, that's how it was supposed to be. But Paul grew out of those things. He said, "But when I became a man, I put away childish things." So when he became a man, he grew up. He grew out of those things. The things that were of children, childish, he set them aside and just moved forward. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. verse 14. Paul says, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." See, that's where we all started. Right? When you got saved, you didn't understand anything except, I'm a sinner. Jesus died for me. He shed his blood for me. I don't want to go to hell. Lord, save me. That's where our spiritual understanding begins. But everything else, it's just, you have to grow into it. I'm sure we've all heard studies or preaching on spiritual growth. And we're shown in 1 Peter, right? How as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that they may grow thereby. You're going to start as a babe. And then you'll be as young children, and you'll grow up. And eventually, you should not only grow physically, but you should also grow in maturity. All right? Spiritually, you should grow, but that doesn't mean, just because you grow spiritually doesn't mean you've grown spiritually mature. All right? Just because not everyone that's grown physically is as mature as they should be. All right, so for children, we're talking about Paul back here in chapter 13. He said, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. So in general, when you think about the way kids speak or they understand or the way they think, you could sum it up in one word: selfish. All right? Even as a little baby, they come out selfish. All right? That baby will be fed and changed, dry, doing good, and then all of a sudden they just start crying. Why? Everything's good. There should be no reason. Well, they just want to be held. Well, they don't. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. Mom's been up with you for the last 4 hours, and you know you should be good. Well, that's not what they want. They want what they want. Starting as a little baby, and as they grow up, give me. I need. I want. It's all selfish, and that's natural. All right, those are natural things, but there should be some growth. And eventually they should grow out of that selfishness. There should be some maturity that comes along with physical growth. Same thing spiritually. And the evidence of that's going to be charity. As you grow in maturity as a Christian, it'll be evident by the charity that you have. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14. So we're going to start with what Paul says. He said, I spake as a child. So have you ever listened to kids speak? You ever listen to them talk? You know what they talk about? Themselves. What they like. You ever listen to kids talk? It's never like, hey, how was your day? What did you do today? What do you like to do? And it's not, hey, I like the Caps. Do you like the Caps? I like guns. Do you like guns? You know, I have a Barbie. You want to play with Barbies? It's not trying to find out about other people. It's let me tell you about me. And if you like the same things I like, then we can be friends. All right, Eli just said it the other day. He said, one of the guys in my class, he liked hockey. And the other day he said, hey, did you watch the Capitals the other night? And I was like, wow, I didn't even know he liked it. So now he talked about the Caps all the time. All right? Well, why didn't he ever ask him, hey, what do you like? Because he's immature. He's a kid. He thinks as a child. He speaks as a child. He's going to talk about things that he likes and stuff like that. All right, so Paul goes through all this. He goes through charity in chapter 13. Chapter 14, he starts out, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts. Remember we talked about chapter 12 was their desire for spiritual gifts, and he goes through all those things and he tells them, look, you need to prefer, you should want something better, a more perfect way being charity. He tells them, follow charity, desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. For he that speaketh, all right, we're talking about speaking as a child. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification, and to exhortation, and comfort. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. All right, Paul's dealing with some spiritually immature people. He said, when I was a child, I spake as a child. And now I'm telling you to follow after charity. You guys desire to speak in these different languages and these tongues. And I'm telling you that does nobody any good except for you. That's why they liked it. Because it was all about them. They were immature. They didn't have charity. Verse 4, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. All right, so we're going to see charity does just that. Charity edifies, according to 1 Corinthians 8:1. But what we see with these speaking in tongues, it doesn't edify anyone except for the one speaking. That's a selfish thing. To hear that, to know that, and to keep doing it, even though Paul's saying, hey, look, you need to be worried about the whole church, edify everyone. Verse 5, he said, I would that ye all spake with tongues, but rather that ye prophesied. For greater is he that prophesied than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying. So look, it's okay if you're going to speak in this language, but make sure you can interpret it also so it edifies everyone, the church. It's not all about you, all right? That's the problem with today is everyone wants to make everything about them, and it's crept into the church. Not so much our church, but in churches, there's envying, strife, and division. because people are immature. They want to make everything about them. They get upset because they weren't asked to sing the special. Or, you know, they weren't the ones that were asked to do the Sunday school this time. You know, they've been waiting all these years and they skipped over. Does it really matter? What are you here for? Is it about you or is it about what? Is it about God? Is it about everyone else? Verse 6, now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you? Except I shall speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine. So look, those things, speaking in those tongues does nothing. I need to be speaking to you by revelation, knowledge, prophesying, by doctrine. That's what will benefit you. That's what will edify you. And even things without life giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? Right? When you hear these musical instruments, you hear the piano, guitar, or trumpet, they play notes, and it's distinct notes with specific sounds to take you to that song. Or to, with the trumpet, the example here is when you hear the do-do-do-do, what do you do? Charge, right? Everyone knows that. But if it was just, if I took that thing and tried to do something, they go, what does that mean? Do we, you know, run and hide? Do we, you know, just sit here and get killed? What? I don't know what that means. All right, it's just noise. He says, so likewise, ye except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For ye shall speak into the air. Right? If they're speaking in tongues, just speaking in the air, it's not doing anyone any good. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. So there, Paul defines what those tongues are. Tongues in the Bible are never an unknown angelic language. Every time you see tongues, it's just a language. Right? In Acts chapter 2, when you read about everyone speaking in tongues, you see that everyone understood in their own language. It wasn't some unknown tongue that is just Oshala Shantai Antai Abotai Economy Honda kind of thing. It was they spoke whatever language they speak, and they understood whatever language they understood. Right? It's not, he says, look, there's many kinds of voices in the world. That's tongues. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be him that speaketh of barbarians. Like, look, if I'm speaking Spanish to you guys, it does no one any good in here. Unless someone speaks Spanish. Anyone speak fluid Spanish in here? So one person. So Brother Stephen would be my interpreter, then everyone would be edified. Amen. Even so, verse 12, even so ye for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts. See, that's what they wanted, all these spiritual things. Not because it was going to edify the church, but because it was shining a light on them. Right? Some people are like that. They get up there and want to sing a song and sing that solo because, man, it just shows how talented they are. All for the glory of God, of course. All right? But let it not be them. Someone else come up there and sing their song and not do it as good as they do. Oh, boy. Seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. That's what it's all about, edifying. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, I will sing with the understanding also. Else when thou shalt bless with the spirit, how shall he that occupied the room of the unlearned say amen, if thy giving thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest? All right, some of the greatest things is being able to hear someone praise the Lord and thank God for something, and we go, you know what, amen, praise the Lord, that's good. But if it's done in a tongue that no one understands, a language no one, it doesn't edify anyone. It does no one any good. Verse 17, for thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. See, so God would hear, God would understand, and that's good for the one speaking it, but it does everyone else no good at all. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. Yet in the church I'd rather speak five words with my understanding than my voice, by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Paul said, when I was a child, I spake as a child. And he's trying to teach them, look, the way you guys are wanting to speak It's childish. There's no charity in that. Right? Charity edifieth. That's 1 Corinthians 8:1. I'm not going to turn you there. But charity edifies. So if they're doing these things that don't edify except for themselves, that's immature. It's all about me. It's childish. Now, we've read over here in 13:1, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I'm become a sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. So without charity, it's all just noise. When you think about kids and the way they speak, sometimes kids just don't shut up. Sometimes they just talk and talk and talk and talk. And, you know, I love talking to my kids, but sometimes I'm just like, all right, that, I'm tapping out. My ears can't take any more. And, you know, sometimes the kids won't, you know, Eli's probably our quietest kid, right? He says the least, but man, when he starts talking, it just goes and goes and goes and goes. And like, man, all right, slow down. Well, sometimes kids are known for their multitude of words, Ecclesiastes 5:3. Ecclesiastes 5:3, for a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by multitude of words. All right? Sometimes they just speak and speak and speak, and that's a sign of immaturity. Sometimes you got to let other people speak. Sometimes you just got to zip it and listen. All right? That's a sign of maturity, being able to, okay, I'll wait my turn. We're not going to have time to run all these verses, but Proverbs 29:11, we see that the wise, mature man can hold back his words. He'll wait to speak, right? He won't just butt in. You ever try to talk to kids and they just want to interrupt you every time? Right? Just had to deal with that earlier. Like, stop talking, listen to what I'm saying, and then start to speak. No, stop. Wise man will hold it in. He'll wait his turn. Just wait. All right? Kids are like that all the time. Let's see. You know what else the kids do a lot? They lie. You know, you don't have to teach a kid how to lie. They just automatically do it. You got to teach them how to tell the truth. Well, we're told in Colossians 3:9 to lie not one to another. All right? There's adults that lie. There's Christians that lie. That's not charity. Look at Psalm 119. We're talking about speaking. The question is, what do you talk about? Right? A lot of people, all they want to do is talk about themselves. So, you know, they'll just, you ask them one question, hey, how's it going? How's your family? And man, they're going to tell you everything that them and their family have been doing for the last 10 years, how awesome they are. And it's like, okay, all right, and can I get a word in edgewise? You're going to ask about me. You're going to tell me about something else. Sometimes that's the case. A lot of people want to talk about themselves, but what we need to be talking about is the Lord a little bit more. His word, right? Verse 46, I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings and will not be ashamed. Are you ashamed of that word? Why don't you speak it more? Amen. Let's hit the altar. Talk about his word. Look at verse 172. 171, that's a good one too. My lips shall utter praise when thou hast taught me thy statutes. My tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness. All right, so it doesn't always have to be about me, me, me. It should be talking about him, about his word, how good he's been to us. In 1 Peter 4:11 talks about, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. Right? You should be able to, some of that stuff should be in here so it can come out here. It should be in your heart so it can come out of your mouth. Look at 1 Peter 3. Verse 15 says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. So what do you have to have your heart prepared to be able to speak the right things, right? That's spiritual maturity. That's charity, having that in your heart. Paul said, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child. When it comes to understanding, sometimes kids just, they're not going to understand everything. All right, dealt with that this week. I just don't understand why I have to go to bed at this time. I don't understand why we got to do this. I don't understand. Well, guess what? It's not for you to understand. Because I can tell you all these things, and it's just going to go over your head because you're only thinking about you and what you want. And it's not all about you, right? Selfishness. Paul said, when I was a child, I understood as a child. Look at 1 Corinthians 14 again. We read verses 1 through 19. Look at verse number 20. Brethren, be not children in understanding. Howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. So look, when it comes to understanding, all right, getting some knowledge and understanding some things, be like men. When it comes to malice, be like kids. Just be oblivious to it. Don't, you know, have no understanding for that. But, you know, kids don't understand the doctrine of the deep. They don't understand the gap, right? They don't understand dispensations, but as they grow and mature, they'll start to grab some, get some of that that strong meat, all right? And same with spiritually. Like if someone just got saved a couple weeks ago or a year ago, they're not going to understand those things either. They got to grow in those things, all right? They're not expected to, but as time goes on, as they grow, there should be some maturity that comes along with it. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Talk about understanding as a child. They don't understand a whole lot of things, right? They don't understand, you know, what's going on over in Ukraine. They just hear it all in the news. When you're watching, they just know something bad's going on, right? They don't understand all the political nonsense of it. So when it comes to children, look at verse 14, Ephesians 4:14. We, as grown adults, as mature Christians, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby you lie in wait to deceive. See, kids, kids will believe anything. Once you start to teach them, they'll go back and forth. They'll go, you know, they'll believe in Santa Claus, and then they won't believe in Santa Claus. And then they'll believe in this, and they can be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine, right? It's all in how you raise them. That's, you know, we get accused of brainwashing them. Amen. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to wash their brains of all that filthiness out there in the world with the cleanliness of this book, all right? Trying to put this in them. Yeah, we want to brainwash them. We want them to believe what the Bible says to believe. If you don't do it, that's what they're doing out there. What do you think's going on with all these schools? All this craziness that's going on with these parent-teacher conferences and PTA meetings and stuff. Parents, when COVID happened, parents were finally inside the classroom to be able to hear what was being taught. Parents heard things going on Zoom going, hold on, that's not right. And now they're starting to pay attention and going, oh my goodness, my kids have been taught this all these years. See what's happened? That all started in colleges years and years ago. But you know what happened? All those people that were in colleges are now the ones teaching in our schools, and they're starting younger and getting younger and younger. Why? Because kids are easily influenced. So that's why they're going to try to toss them to and fro with every wind of doctrine. As mature adults, as mature Christians, we can't be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. We've got to have some understanding. Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, right? We're talking about grace, or we're talking about charity, right? And love, that what? You may grow up, maturity, into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. All right, so children are tossed to and fro with all, you know, with what they believe. Paul emphasizes the importance of growing up in Jesus Christ, spiritual growth, spiritual maturity. I'm not going to give you these, but I'll just give you the reference. Psalm 119, verse 99, we see that understanding comes from the Word of God. You get understanding by getting in this book, right? You're not going to understand why the righteous suffer. Why do bad things happen to good people? You'll get a little bit of understanding if you get in this book. You'll get a little bit of understanding if you go through some of those things. We see in Psalm 111, verse 10, understanding comes from doing His commandments. Being doers of the Word and not hearers only. Right? Then you'll get a little bit of understanding. You'll never have a 100% complete understanding of this book, but you'll never get any of it if you're not in it. You'll never be mature enough to be able to handle it, anything in there unless you're in it, trying to talk to the one that wrote it to you. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. The kids think about themselves, right? They think about what makes them happy. What am I going to do when I get home? What do I want to eat, right? What's for dinner? We're having chicken. Oh, I don't want that. What do you want? Cereal? I bet you do. It's all about them, right? They're not worried that me and mom are trying to diet and eat better, you know? Let's have pizza. No, we're not having pizza. Why not? I want pizza. And they think as children, right? They think selfishly. There's a lot. The Bible says a lot about thoughts. In Proverbs 15:26, we're told that wicked thoughts are an abomination to the Lord. Proverbs 6:18, these six things that the Lord hates, yea, seven are abomination. What is that? Something about imaginations, wicked imaginations, evil, something like that. Let's see. A heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. All right. Well, you think about kids, they have wild imaginations sometimes. They come up with some crazy games and some fun. I mean, when we were kids, we did all kinds of stuff. And I'm sure you guys did too. But, you know, playing out in the woods and stuff, you know, capture the flag or, we'd invent games. Me and Jordan came up with hacky hockey. Right? You know, what in the world is hacky hockey? Well, we had a hacky sack, right? One of them little balls that's filled up with little beads and stuff. And he would be on one side of the room, and I'd be on the other, and we'd be on our knees, and we'd have goals behind us, and you'd hit the hacky sack with your hand, like a hockey puck. Whack. We played hacky hockey, right? Just using our imaginations, just trying to do something, not to get in trouble, right? Mom let us play that, so we were good. You know, we weren't spray painting pool tables and making mud pies and stuff like that where we weren't supposed to, so we were allowed to do that. Sometimes kids, they let their imaginations go crazy, right? Well, that needs to change as you become an adult. Imaginations aren't all bad, but you got to be able to bring those into subjection. You got to be able to capture those things. If you have problems with your thoughts, which most people do, Proverbs 16, verse 3 says, "Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established." All right, so you want to establish your thoughts to be the right thoughts, mature thoughts. Commit your works to the Lord. And, you commit doing right, reading your Bible, praying, passing out tracts, witnessing to people, coming to church, giving praises, you know, just whatever. Commit your works and your thoughts will change. look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Here is spiritual maturity in action. Verse 4, "For our weapons are, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing it into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." If you're there, you are a mature Christian. If when those wicked thoughts, those imaginations come in that shouldn't be there, and you're able to go, "Oh, nope, that can't do that. Let me bind that thing up, wrap it up, handcuff it, bring it into subjection, put it into captivity. I can't think that way." That's a mature Christian. That's spiritual maturity. A lot of people aren't there. What is it? Charity. Right? We're just talking about charity. Charity is the evidence of spiritual maturity. Now, let's look at Titus chapter 2. We'll close it here. Now, normally maturity comes with age, right? As you get older, you usually become more mature. Not always the case. Should be the case. But chapter 2, verse 1, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men," right, those are the older, the mature generation, right, "the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise." See, the aged men and the aged women should be sound in charity. Why? Why is that? "That they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed." Right? So the aged men and the aged women are to be sound in charity so they can be a mature example to the younger. Show them what they're supposed to be. How do you do that? Through charity. Having charity is evidence of spiritual maturity. And Paul said, "When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things." It's time to put away childish things. It's time to put away the envy, the strife, the division, the thoughts, the things we talk about that are all about ourselves, all the selfish things, and be set to the side. Why? Because we're grown-ups now. We should be more mature than the way we act, right? Let's be more spiritually mature. Let's have some more charity. Amen. All right. Brother Eddie, could you close us in prayer? Amen.